Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
John Wooden said, "It isn't what you do, but how you do it." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who understands how to do it. Today's playmaker helped his basketball club get into the playoffs for the first time since the team moved to DFW. With us today is a CEO who has spent 20 years in the sports industry, including stints at the Washington Wizards and the Major Indoor Soccer League. This great playmaker is Greg Bibb. Greg is president and CEO of the Dallas Wings. As I mentioned, Greg's a 20-year veteran of the sports industry. He was named president and chief executive officer of the Dallas Wings in April of 2017, after serving as the team's general manager since November of 2015. Greg has been the guiding force for the Wings' on-and-off-court initiatives. In less than a year, Greg has revamped the Wings' front office, restructured the team's ticket offerings, and secured key multi-year corporate sponsorships. On the court, Greg has assembled a talented and versatile roster complemented by an experienced staff. During the 2017 season, he was instrumental in constructing a five-player rookie class to propel the Wings into the WNBA playoffs for the first time since the club moved to DFW. Outside of the Wings organization, Greg serves as a CEO of Capital Sports Ventures and is on the company's board of managers. Prior to launching CSV, Greg served 3 years as the executive vice president of business operations for the Washington Wizards and 5 seasons as the Washington Mystics chief operating officer. There'll be a lot to talk about. Greg, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I do want to know how a Hershey, Pennsylvania native with a BA in communications ends up in the sports industry.
Well, first and foremost, I've been very lucky and fortunate along my career path, but my love of sports is deep-rooted. Played just about anything that had a ball and a score as a kid growing up, and then somewhere around 10, 11, 12, like most of us, I realized the dream of being a professional athlete was not going to come to fruition. So I started to think about ways in which I could stay involved in sport. I had a keen love and interest in the game, all the games really, but in particular hockey. Having grown up in Hershey, PA, along with being Chocolate Town, USA, it's a fantastic hockey market, specifically an American Hockey League market, and the Hershey Bears. And my dad and I pretty much didn't miss a game from the time I was a toddler until I went away to college, and have many, many fond memories of nights spent in Hershey Park Arena. And back in those days, the internet was not around, and the amount of information you could gain on your favorite players was significantly reduced and more challenging to acquire. So some of my earliest memories are sneaking into the press box at the Hershey Park Arena to grab a stat sheet and the bios of the players and to learn about the players through that process. So always have had a love of sport. I'm also old enough that there really wasn't anything known as a sports management major in college when I attended Marist. So I looked for a major that I thought gave me the clearest path to a career in sports, and that time it was communications, i.e. either becoming a broadcaster or being a public relations professional in the sports industry. And therefore, I went to Marist. I had a great internship with ABC Sports back then. The biggest games were on ABC. They weren't on ESPN. I worked at ABC Sports on college football Saturday and Monday Night Football, when Monday Night Football was on ABC and Howard, well, wasn't quite Howard Cosell anymore, but it was a different era, and had a great, fantastic experience there. And then, excuse me, had the opportunity to get a job with my hometown Harrisburg Heat, which is a professional indoor soccer team that played at the State Farm Show Arena in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And for those who aren't familiar with the Farm Show Arena, it's exactly as its name would suggest. It is the farm show venue for the state of Pennsylvania and your annual agricultural celebration. Our locker room, when not being used as a soccer locker room, literally was a chicken coop, and I kid you not. And the rest from there is kind of history.
Well, we're going to talk more about that in just a few moments, and we're going to talk more about the team. But speaking of the team specifically, I'm sure you had some hurdles or obstacles when you became general manager, bringing team from originally Detroit to Tulsa to Dallas. And it's also a women's professional basketball team, which the DFW area was not really into at that point. What are some of the key things you had to deal with as you brought the team here and to make them a winner?
Well, when the team relocated from Tulsa in November of 2015, so by the way, we're talking 2 years. It hasn't been that long. We're still an infant here in Dallas. I was solely focused on the basketball side. So for me, the transition was different than the people who were focused on the business and having to start a franchise, generate awareness, sell tickets, find corporate partners, et cetera, et cetera. But there are a lot of challenges when you relocate an organization. First and foremost, it's a people challenge. The folks that you have in Tulsa, who is coming with you? How do you help them relocate? In terms of the team, more specific to my background, you know, getting the players who are under contract comfortable with relocating to a new market, a market that's very different than the market they're coming from. We're fortunate in that Dallas is a fantastic marketplace, world-class, in fact, in many ways. So selling, quote-unquote, the players on that transition, and we loved our time in Tulsa, but selling the players on that transition to a world-class market like Dallas was not a hard thing to do because of all that this market has to offer.
A big part of your success last year was finding five rookies to complement your team to move you into the playoffs for the first time. How difficult was that?
So when we moved from Tulsa to Dallas, we had a roster that was talented, but in my estimation, coming on board as the general manager at that time, had sort of reached the pinnacle of what that group was going to do together. So we made some strategic decisions to revamp the roster and to make some deals with other WNBA teams that sent a lot of talent, candidly, out of town and to new places. And in exchange, we were able to aggregate multiple draft picks over the course of a couple years. Now, when you do that, you have to take a little medicine because the talent level on your roster near term dramatically decreases. And the WNBA happens to be the best women's basketball league in the world. So the best 144 players on the planet play in this league. Therefore, if you do not have talent, there will be pain involved. And we took that medicine in our first summer here in Dallas in 2016. We won 11 games. We lost 23. But that laid a foundation for us to then have a draft class in 2017 where we had five picks, the number three pick, the number four pick, the number 10 pick, and then two later round picks to kind of re-energize and reimagine the roster. And we were fortunate to do really well in that draft and acquire a lot of talent. And despite being the youngest team in the league last summer by a long shot, in fact, by one metric, we are the youngest team in the WNBA since the year 2000, the last time a team drafted five players and all five of those players made the opening day roster. Despite having five rookies on the team and being the youngest team in the league by a long shot, we qualified for the playoffs. And it kind of laid the foundation. It's the first step in a process of which we think is ultimately going to end up in championships for the team here in Dallas.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. In 1992, the NFL's youngest team was the Dallas Cowboys. And in January of 1993, they won the Super Bowl. So if you're following their steps, that's not too bad at all.
Well, don't hold us to that timeline, but we think 2018 is going to be a fantastic summer for us. We have the number six pick in this year's draft, so we'll add another very highly skilled, talented player. And we have an opportunity with some other players that are out there in the universe that we hope to sign, and if that happens, I think we're going to be a very competitive ball club
so
this summer.
From a promotional point of view, if anybody wants to see high-powered, fast-paced sports coming to Arlington and watching the Dallas Wings would be the place to do that.
Well, not only are we starting to win on a more consistent basis, but we're an exciting brand of basketball to watch. We led the league last year in points scored, so we were the number one offense. Our coach, Fred Williams, 30 years plus in the basketball business. He's known for high-scoring, exciting teams, and certainly last year was no exception, and based on how we're starting to shape up for 2018, I expect nothing but the same. this coming summer.
Going back to your background, you're mentioning a lot of what you did, especially as a kid going to the press box and getting the stats and finding out what's going on with your hockey team. You've been involved in sports in a lot of different areas. Did you ever coach?
I have, other than my daughter's soccer team, and we are very good, and my son's soccer team, and we're getting there, I've never coached now at a professional or a collegiate level. I've always been on the administrative side.
Well, then again, what you learned to help both your son and daughter probably have helped a lot as a coach also. Capital Sports Ventures is a big part of what you have done. Tell us what that is and how that association helped move you to the Dallas Wings.
Sure. I've always had an entrepreneurial itch, and when I was working at Monumental Sports Entertainment, which is the parent company for the Washington Wizards and Washington Mystics, also the Washington Capitals, you know, I had gotten to a point in my life where I had a young family. I, at that point, was in my late 30s, and I felt like if I didn't try to pursue that dream now, life's challenges were only going to become greater. So I made a tough decision and, you know, in one way gave up on a career path that was at that point 15 years in the making. My long-term goal when I set out in the mid-90s was to be a team president of a major four sports organization. I was the executive vice president of the Washington Wizards, so I was one click away, but felt like the time was right. So left Monumental to create Capital Sports Ventures, and really Capital Sports Ventures has three different legs to the stool. Leg one is sports-related investing. So when I was at the Wizards in particular, you know, I would be inundated, and this is, again, 2011, 2012, with folks who had new technology, new ideas in sport, but really didn't have an avenue to pursue implementation, implementation of whatever that technology may be, nor the monetary funds to really scale the opportunity. And I realized at that point, it's changed today, but at that point, there really weren't a lot of folks from an investor standpoint that said, you know what, we're going to look at sports as a true sector, and we're going to focus our energy on investing in the sports sector. So I saw a lot of potential opportunity. And on the other side of the equation, I didn't see a lot of people looking to take advantage of that. So we created Capital Sports Ventures. The second thing that we do is sports-related advisory. So we have a number of clients that we help operate in the sports space. Some of them are public, some of them are private. And we have a very healthy roster of clients that we work with. And then the third thing we do, and where we actually spend most of our time these days, is on events, large-scale events. And in particular, we have a bike template. In D.C., it's called D.C. Bike Ride. I'm a very creative guy, so in Dallas, it's called Dallas Bike Ride. And it's a mass participation, large-scale recreational bike ride, 20 miles of closed roads through urban areas. So in D.C., you're riding down Constitution Boulevard, Constitution Avenue, and you're finishing your ride right in front of the U.S. Capitol building. And in Dallas, we're hitting every neighborhood in the city, and it's car-free biking on major thoroughfares. We're very excited about the program. We've had over 7,000 riders in D.C. We just launched here in Dallas and had a great ride in early November, and we're looking to, pardon the pun, roll that event out to multiple cities across the country. So, very long-winded answer to your original question, how does that lead to me being here? The gentleman who happens to be the majority owner of the Dallas Wings is Bill Cameron. And Bill is a very successful businessman. He's got a company in Oklahoma City called American Fidelity, which is one of the nation's largest supplemental insurance groups. And Bill and I have been longtime friends since he got involved with originally buying the team in Detroit and relocating it to Tulsa. He's also a limited partner in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he has, over the years, done a lot of business in D.C. And when I started my company and we started to make investments, I had asked Bill if he'd like to participate in some of those with me, and he agreed to do so. And then in 2015, his company, American Fidelity, made a direct investment in my company, Capital Sports Ventures. At about that time is when he decided he was going to move the team from Tulsa to Dallas. So as partners in one business, he asked if I would become involved in another, i.e. the team moving from Tulsa to Dallas. And I said, yes, I would, and started as a general manager, and then eventually over time evolved into my current position as president and CEO. So the connectivity between Capital Sports Ventures in D.C. and the Dallas Wings here in the Dallas-Fort Worth marketplace is Bill Cameron.
Well, the CSV company is, as I'm listening to you, a promotional company. Not only that, but you also develop events. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say more than anything, we're an event company, an event producer, event owner. We take great pride in creating things from scratch. You know, it was a concept in D.C. in 2016, and we launched it in our first ride. We had 7,111 riders in a pouring rain. And based off the success of that event, we decided to bring one here to Dallas, and we had a fantastic year here in Dallas with our inaugural ride on November the 4th. We'll be in D.C. again May 19th. We'll be back in Dallas next November, and we're in discussions with a handful of other cities to continue to extend that brand across the country.
Now, within CSV, you have big teams, Schedule Star. Those are additional things you do for, is it primarily school teams?
So big teams and Schedule Stars are two of our portfolio companies, companies that we have invested in and now are owners of, not 100% owners of, but investors in our portfolio. Big Teams is a high school athletic website publishing company. So, you know, if you happen to be an SMU fan or a TCU fan or an OU fan or Texas fan, and you're a fan of those teams, you go to their website and you can read about the volleyball team, the football team, the basketball team, and you can see stats and scores and pictures and results and bios. All those things I was looking for back in the day in Hershey, you can now go online and get. Big Teams does that kind of offering for high school athletic departments. There's 25,000 high school athletic departments across the country, you know, well over 7 million high school athletes. So there's a big universe there, and Big Teams publishes those websites. I think there's about 3,000 schools that utilize the Big Teams publishing service. Schedule Star is a related company. Schedule Star is a utility service. As the name would indicate, they provide scheduling softwares for high school athletic directors, for venues, opponents, transportation, referees, et cetera, et cetera. So Big Teams and Schedule Stars really go hand in hand and create a 360-degree offering for the high school athletic department, and we sell that as a subscription service to high schools across the country.
So CSV is really a an umbrella company with a number of units underneath it.
Correct.
And primarily, as you said, you're an event company.
Right.
And making things happen. Coming back to the Dallas Wings and WNBA, there are 12 teams, I believe, in the WNBA, a little smaller than the NBA. If you were to take a look at differences, obviously the difference between male and female, what are the differences between the two leagues?
Well, I mean, from a layman's perspective, the first thing you notice, obviously, is, you know, the game is played a little bit differently vertically. It's not played above the rim in the women's game. There are women who can dunk. We have one on our team. Her name is Glory Johnson, an unbelievable athlete. But the vertical nature of the game is different. Now, some people at first blush would see that as a negative. I would tell you, if you take a moment and think about it, it's actually a great positive, and this is why. It's far less of a one-on-one game in the WNBA. It's much more of a team-oriented game. And particularly for a young player, to sit and watch a WNBA game, you will see fundamentally how the game is meant to be played. You'll see a lot more ball movement. You'll see a lot more offense. You'll see a lot more of defensive scheming. And you'll see a much more sound fundamental game being played. The money is obviously different for the women versus the men. The women, you know, the league is now just 21 years old, and that's probably the greatest difference. You know, while the business metrics are significantly smaller, if you look at the WNBA year 21 and you compare it to the NBA in year 21, our metrics actually are more favorable. So we are just now at the end of the first generation. A generation to me is 25 years. So in year 21, we're just ending the first generation of the WNBA. I'll use my family as an example. You know, my son is as big a sports fan as you will find. He could tell you what the ESPN ticker says at any given moment. He lives and breathes sports. He looks and watches WNBA basketball the same way as he looks and watches NHL hockey, NFL football, NBA basketball, you name the sport. In his mind, there is no difference. Obviously, there's difference, but there's no difference in terms of the value proposition of the game, because he knew no other time there's always been a women's professional league. He's that next generation. Anyone older than 21 years of age, maybe 25 or 30, if you give a few years for your memory to kick in, knows the difference, and therefore probably inherently discounts the W a little bit just on the man-to-woman comparison. And that's completely false, by the way. There's this stereotype out there that the average jock could go get four buddies off the street, walk onto a WNBA court, and beat a WNBA team. And that's about as ridiculous as a thought comes. But back to my son, he sees no difference. So he's that next generation. As he grows up, he becomes an adult. He has disposable income. He's educating his children. You're going to see this maturing process with our game and the business metrics, which, by the way, are already pointing up. The arrow is green, make no mistake about it. That arrow will become much more vertical, and that hockey stick that you typically see will happen and off the league will go.
I heard two things as you're talking about that. A, you are at the very cusp of all of this turning around with the WNBA, especially going into the next generation. Secondly, because of the way the NBA is, WNBA is played, and there are players that are shorter, not less skilled than the NBA, it's a game that most kids can watch and see exactly what they're going to have to learn how to do as compared to the NBA, where those players are a little bit too far away from what they're doing. Would that be a supposition to be correct?
I think that's fair. And to the product for a moment, you know, whatever product you happen to be selling, let's use a very mundane example. If you happen to sell shoes, right, you can do the best marketing of those shoes. You can have the best location to sell your shoes. But you got to have good shoes. You may be able to get someone to buy them once, but if they're not good shoes, you're not going to buy them again. Well, we're very blessed in our league to not only have the best 144 players in the world, the evolution of the women's game is happening at light speed. If you think about the NBA for a second, you think about probably the most obvious example, LeBron James, right? Probably the best player in the game today, arguably maybe the best player ever. My generation would say Michael Jordan would have something to say about that, but let's say it's LeBron James. LeBron James, Michael Jordan, they come along every 10 years or so. There's that next generation of player. You can, Steve, look at our league and almost every single year see a player coming out of the college ranks that plays the game at a different level in a different way than everyone before her. It happens literally every year. And if you watch a WNBA game from today versus a WNBA game from just 5 years ago, the level of play, the quality of the product is so dramatically different, it's almost hard to compare it. So not only is it really good basketball today, it's going to be even better basketball literally tomorrow, and I can guarantee you 5 years from now it's going to be a completely different game. The evolution of the athlete is happening that fast. So you marry that to what we just talked about in terms of generational acceptance, you can't lose. It's going to be off and running for the WNBA.
Obviously, you are excited about being in the sports industry, the WNBA, and more specifically the Dallas Wings. But since you run two companies, CSV and the Dallas Wings, that makes you are a playmaker. This is Playmakers Talk Show. What about your leadership style? Because you have a lot of people that you need to develop to run things that you were, and you when you're not there. What kind of leadership style, or how did you develop your leadership style to run both companies?
I've been very fortunate throughout my career to have some individuals who have given me great opportunities. I have no qualms in telling anyone who's listening, I've worked really hard and in many senses have earned everything I've got, but it wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't been given some great opportunities along the way by some fabulous mentors. One of the gentlemen that comes to mind is a guy named Steve Ryan. And before we went on the air, we were talking hockey. Steve is a former president of NHL Enterprises and was number two to John Ziegler at the NHL before Gary Bettman took over years ago. And when I met Steve, he was the incoming commissioner of the Major Indoor Soccer League. At that time, I was running PR for my hometown team in Harrisburg, PA. And Steve saw some ability in me and brought me to the league office to run communications for the soccer league. And it was a fantastic learning experience to be pitching national media and trying to earn space in USA Today against the NFLs and the NBAs of the world. And I lost 99 out of 100 of those battles. But let me tell you, when you get the Major Indoor Soccer League in USA Today, it does a lot of good for your confidence. And I learned a lot there. And I also learned the magic of best practices by being in a league office, being able to observe all the different teams across the league, and realizing that everyone did something well. So whether it was the Milwaukee Wave and their season ticket sales, or the Baltimore Blast and their group outings, or the Philadelphia Kicks and their game experience, literally kept a notebook as I went around the country on what they all did well. And then one day Steve called and said, "Greg, the gentleman who's running the Philadelphia franchise, we're in the middle of the season now, just basically left. They need someone to go run the team. I want you to go down there for a few weeks and help them." I said, "Mr. Commissioner, thank you for the opportunity, but I write press releases. I've never run a team before." He's like, "That book you keep, take that with you. You'll be fine." So I went down and literally opened that book and followed some of the best practices I learned from some of the other teams. And we were fortunate to go on a nice little run, both on the business and sports side. And I didn't leave. I stayed the rest of that season. I stayed two more seasons. And then he sent me out to Michigan to do a startup, which was another great opportunity to build something from scratch with literally a telephone, a desk, and a computer. And then one day the phone rang and it was Ted Leonsis, who is the majority owner of Monumental Sports Entertainment. And he had heard about what I was doing in Michigan and asked if I'd come help him with his WNBA team, with the promise to have an NBA opportunity when he acquired the team a few years down the road. So I did. And he was fantastic to work for and just continued to give me opportunity. And then one of the other partners in Monumental Sports Entertainment was willing to join forces with me and really be the financial backing of Capital Sports Ventures. His name is Fred Schaufeld. And then we've already talked about Bill, and Bill has been an unbelievable business partner to me and has given me, you know, a lot of rope here to try to create this in my vision of what this can be in Dallas. So I've worked really hard along the way, but I've had some opportunity. And I would say the other thing, Steve, that's important here is when I first got started, it was a really small stage, which allows you to make a lot of mistakes and not have them be fatal mistakes. And that happened in Harrisburg as a PR director. That then happened at the league office for the MISL because we weren't expected to get into the national media. So if we didn't, that was great. And if we did, that was fantastic. And then going and run the team in Philadelphia, and then going and doing a startup, and even then coming to Washington, stakes were certainly higher. But you're talking about a company that has an NBA team, an NHL team, and a WNBA team. Flaws aren't fatal at the WNBA level. So I've had an opportunity to make a lot of mistakes along the way. What I've learned along the way is that the business is pretty much the same in terms of what you need to do, no matter if it's the indoor soccer or the major leagues. There's a lot more zeros involved and a lot more people and exposure, but the blocking and tackling of the business is very similar. It's that old adage, you know, 95% of what you need to learn, you learn in kindergarten. It's kind of the same in sports. 95% of what I needed to know, I learned working with the chickens at the State Farm Show arena. And number one on that list is you got to have good people with you. I don't care how talented you are, how skilled you are, how many hours you have in your day. Maybe you have more than everyone else in the 24 we all get. But if you don't have good people pulling with you, you're not going to be successful. And by the way, when you get those good people on board, get out of their way and let them do what they do best. So we have spent a lot of time here, first on the basketball side, and that's obvious, right? You got to build the roster. But now on the business side, over the last 8 or 9 months, equally important, we have kind of flipped our roster and brought in, you know, new talent, hungry talent, talent that wants to win, just win in a different way on the business side of the organization. And you're seeing our business metrics take off now. And that's not what I've done. That's what they've done. So I think if you say boil it down to one important life lesson in terms of leadership, it's hire good people and get out of the way.
And it's not necessarily their skills they have, but if, as listening to you with your passion, it's the attitude they have toward wanting to do a great job. But let's round this out as we conclude here with the Dallas Wings. Tell everybody where they play, when the season begins, and how they can find out more about getting tickets, getting involved with the Dallas Wings.
We're so lucky. We play in what I think is the best sports market in America, in the Dallas-Fort Worth marketplace. And we specifically call home Arlington. which in my mind over the last decade has become the center of the sports universe, with the Cowboys right up the street, with what the Rangers are doing right up the street, you know, Mayor Williams here in Arlington and the Arlington City Council and the Arlington business community. This is a fantastic, you know, little corner of a fantastic, tremendous marketplace. And then on top of that, we play at College Park Center on the campus of UT Arlington. World-class university, world-class venue, perfect size for us, 7,000 seats. Building opened in 2012, so it's state-of-the-art. And we really feel fortunate to call College Park Center Arlington Dallas-Fort Worth Marketplace home.
And where can they find out more about the Wings?
Easiest way to find us is dallaswings.com. You want to buy tickets, you want to learn about the team, you want to get involved with your organization, dallaswings.com is how to find us.
Well, Greg, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today.
Well, you're definitely a playmaker. We were just speaking with Greg Bibb. Greg is president and CEO of the Dallas Wings. Again, thank you for being on the show, Greg, and being a playmaker. It's great also having you on the listening to us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.